Last weekend, Turkmenistani authorities detained Olga Sapara Muradova, her daughters Sana and Maral, and her son Birdie, Elena Ovizodova, Anna Kurban Amakalichev, and Sapardurdi Kadajev. Olga Maradova is associated with the Turkmenistani Helsinki group, THF, which documents human rights abuses in the country. Former THF member Olga Muradova, a correspondent for the US-funded Radio Liberty, was detained at her apartment on the 18th of June at around 5 p.m. by two Ashgabat city police officers who did not show an arrest warrant. A senior officer told her family that they were taking her for a conversation. Her daughters Sana and Maral went to the Interior Ministry building to try and get information about her. After midnight, a Secret Service officer ordered them to bring their mother's electronic equipment, such as her computer and fax. When they refused to give them a phone, they gave them a phone and connected them with their mother. THF director Tajigul Begmadova told Amnesty International from exile in Bulgaria on the 19th of June. She seemed to have difficulty speaking. What she said was totally incoherent. We think they gave her psychotropic drugs. Her daughter repeated that they would not cooperate and returned home. On the 19th of June, law enforcement officers came to their house and detained them too. They were reportedly taken to the Interior Ministry building. Olga Sapara Muradova has been harassed for over a year to punish her for her human rights work and her affiliation with Radio Liberty. This has included keeping a close watch on her and her house, bugging her phone and cutting off her phone service for several months. The authorities reportedly threatened to harm her children and to evict her from her apartment if she continued her work as a journalist. Three law enforcement officers detained THF member Elena Ovidzodova on the 18th of June in her apartment in Ashgabat. They did not show a warrant. In the evening, her parents went to the Interior Ministry building but were given no information. Her mother, who was over 80, went there again the following morning. When she returned home, she had a heart attack. We don't know what happened to her when she was at the police because she refused to talk about it, said Tajigul Begmadova. Sapardurdi Kadajev, a brother of Tajigul Begmadova's husband, was reportedly detained in the evening of the 18th of June and taken to the Interior Ministry building. Turkmenistan, north of Iran and Afghanistan and east of the Caspian Sea, is an expanding desert following the massive use of pesticides in its cotton fields in the Soviet era, but it also has lots of oil and natural gas. Elections there are a joke, and its personality cult president, Sapir Murat Niyazov, requires loyalty oaths from all his citizens, has eliminated all free media, unofficial religions, the arts, and even shut down the Academy of Sciences.
Internet activists in the US are campaigning hard to preserve the freedom of the internet from the designs of the big telecommunications corporations. The telecoms companies plan to reserve fast lane services for their own favoured content while slowing access to independent sites and content. For example, this April, AOL blocked emails that mentioned www.dearaol.com, an advocacy scheme opposing the company's paper email scheme. Canadian cable company Shaw charges an extra $10 for its subscribers to enhance competing internet telephony services. Activists are calling for net neutrality legislation to prevent such goings-on. For more, see savetheinternet.com or caonews.org. That's caonews.org.
George Bush was reportedly buoyed by his sneak visit to Iraq last week, where he held talks with the new government there, should we say regime, and had photo ops with his troops. But a simultaneous memo from the US ambassador to Iraq, Zalmay Khalilzad, leaked to the Washington Post, doesn't really seem to justify George Bush's smiles. It documents the difficulties experienced by the embassy's local staff when they leave the green zone for home each evening. In 46 Celsius heat, power in many areas of Baghdad is on for between 1 and 3 hours and six. Women are increasingly harassed if they do not wear the trad Muslim sack, and there is evidence of widespread ethnic cleansing between Sunni, Shia and Kurds all over Iraq. Of most concern to the locals working at the embassy is the fact that if this is widely known, they will become immediate targets for militia who barricade off streets to exclude outsiders in an atmosphere of poisonous paranoia. For more, see the Indie Media website.
The Green Scare is a term for the roundup of many earth and animal rights activists over the past few years in the US. Here we play a Houston Indie Media interview with activists Chris Kaldev and Phil Potter. Green Scare Audio.
Chris, could you tell us who Jeff Lures is and why he's in prison? Jeff is an environmental activist who, in a protest against global warming a few years ago, set fire to 3 SUVs, which were actually damaged slightly and were later fixed and resold. He's in prison because he was sentenced to 22 years for this action, and that's why the main reason that we have an organization supporting him, because of the extremity of his sentence, given the minor nature of his crime.
Could you tell us what the International Weekend Against the Green Scare is and why it's important?
It's been 6 years now since Jeff has been put in prison, and startling increase in the state's response against all these kinds of actions in the form of, there was an indictment that came down in December, which arrested 6 people, and since then 8 more have been added to the list. And we're calling this the Green Scare because all of these people are guilty of crimes similar to Jeff's, which were mostly arsons, and all of which were actions that didn't harm anyone. I mean, they didn't injure anyone or kill anyone or anything. And the reason we're especially concerned about why it's an issue right now is the fact that the government's been responding with absolutely draconian sentences on these people. They're throwing around sentences on the order of life plus 300 years or life plus 1,000 years in one case. And this is something that is definitely an attack on environmentalists and an attack on all dissent, pretty much, in this country, because it's only applied to left-wing protesters. The weekend of resistance is held on June 12th because that's the anniversary of Jeff Lurie's imprisonment, and since his crime and his sentence were so similar to what's going on right now, it was a natural thing to roll them all into one weekend.
As a more established political prisoner support committee, what would y'all say are the best ways to support political prisoners?
Basically, getting their name out there so that everybody knows who they are and what they're in there for. And then, of course, just the day-to-day support that all people in prison need, which is, you know, a lot of mail, money put on their books, a lot of just staying in contact with the people that are on the outside so they don't feel isolated and so they don't lose contact with the rest of the world. And it's really important to help people that are inside have a voice in the outside world, so publishing their writings and, if possible, doing interviews by phone with them, and also getting them enrolled in classes or anything else they can do that keeps their mind active and keeps them from feeling just isolated and completely shut down by the system. All that stuff needs to be done.
All right. Well, thanks very much, Chris. Do you have a website?
Yeah, for sure. There's freefreenow.org is a good place to go check out Jeff Lurie's information. Then there's a website called cldc.org, which stands for Civil Liberties Defense Center in Eugene. It's also a good one for Green Scare information.
Freelance reporter Will Potter, who runs the website greenisthenewred.com.
Well, the Green Scare is a name that was given by environmentalists and animal rights activists to the roundups and the targeting that's been going on by lawmakers, prosecutors, and corporations that are in a public arena saying they're going after people committing illegal actions in the name of the environment or animal rights. Really what the Green Scare has come to mean to a lot of people is targeting any environmentalist and any animal rights activist who are connected to these social movements in the name of going after people that damage property. So the corporations and lawmakers and prosecutors are trying to round up everyone for political purposes under the same guise of cracking down on illegal actions and so-called eco-terrorism. And really what makes them targets for repression is not so much their support of the defending the environment or defending animal rights, but the fact that they've done so and they've had those beliefs while targeting corporate property and affecting profit margins. So the Green Scare is going after people that they may not be charged with anything like damaging property, but they're being rounded up because their campaigns have directly impacted the profit margins of corporations, and that's truly why they're the biggest threat.
Okay. I know there's been eras of repression in the past. How does this compare to some of those?
Well, targeting citizens based on their political ideology is certainly nothing new in this country, unfortunately. And actually, the activists being targeted by the Green Scare should feel they're in pretty good company. Under COINTELPRO in the 1960s, the government was targeting civil rights and anti-war and American Indian activists purely because of their political beliefs, and these were covert tactics. This wasn't publicized until years later. But those tactics were similar to what we're seeing now, and they were even going after people that we consider heroes of the civil rights movement now, like Martin Luther King, using things like disrupting organizations, spreading rumors, infiltrating organizations, all things that we're seeing coming to life again. And then in the 1950s, though, we were seeing what I think are a lot more similar tactics to the Green Scare of these congressional witch hunts, of grand juries, of forcing activists and any individuals to name names, and really demonizing anyone that's even loosely or tangentially in any way connected to the idea of communism. And now we're seeing the same tactics being used to go against anyone who's in any way connected to the environmental or animal rights movement, in particular the people that have had the courage to stand up for their support of illegal actions, even though, you know, no matter how unpopular those may be with the general public. They've become particular targets by the Green Scare.
Okay. And my next question is, with that, now there's the Animal Enterprise Terrorism Act. How is that being implemented, and what's that mean for the movements?
Well, the Animal Enterprise Terrorism Act is something that's been pushed by corporations and very conservative lawmakers for a few years now, and now it's really picking up steam in Congress. On the, both the House and Senate side are identical bills that are pending that make it a terrorism crime to target an animal enterprise and cause the intentional disruption or damaging of property. And that's pretty legal jargon, but the way it's spelled out in the definitions of the law, it says that if you target an animal enterprise like a lab or a zoo or a factory farm, and you cause the loss of profits, that is animal enterprise terrorism. And I actually testified before Congress on this just last month, and the main argument I raised was, well, causing the loss of profits is what any good activist should really be doing through the civil rights movement, the anti-war movement, the anti-apartheid movement. All of these activists, the reason that they were successful in large part is that they realized to get a lot of things done in our culture and in this society, you have to pull at the purse strings and you have to make people pay attention to profit margins. So by what this Animal Enterprise Terrorism Act would do, it's using the war on terrorism to go after activists that are hurting corporate profits. And that's not what, you know, I think victims of September 11th and their families would think that terrorism really is. These people that aren't charged with doing anything violent, they're not even charged with property crimes or breaking windows or arson or anything, any, you know, even related to something illegal. They're just damaging profits. And they're being potentially, if this bill passes, being labeled terrorists because of it.